This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Some Silicon Valley CEOs find they're just too busy to see the President of the United States today. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. President Obama is in Silicon Valley today for a cybersecurity summit. It's part of a White House effort to get more cooperation from tech companies in fighting threats to internet security, including those massive data breaches. But some key tech players will be missing. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us now live from Washington. Nancy, who is staying away from this summit?
The CEOs of Google, Yahoo, and Facebook. Instead of going to the summit, they're sending information security executives. In fact, David, the only top tech CEO who will be there is Apple's Tim Cook. Some tech analysts say the CEOs are staying away because they're still miffed about the government spying exposed by Edward Snowden.
I mean, it does seem this is a sign of tension right now between the tech community and the White House. I mean, just because of Snowden?
Yeah, but tech companies have also been under pressure from the government, which wants it to give the government officials keys to crack their systems to, say, prevent a terrorist attack. Some companies like Apple and Google say no way. And in fact, Apple has encrypted its phones and tablets, so the government would have to go directly to the user.
All right. So if there's this, what do you want to call it, bad blood, why is the President of the United States holding the summit now?
Well, he really wants to get some cooperation. He's scheduled to outline an executive action today that would create a framework so companies could actually share information about a data breach.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer, thank you. The conventional wisdom about Europe's economy got a good shaking up today. The pleasant surprise, Germany's economy was growing more vigorously than expected. Let's see how that plays out in the numbers. 100 share index in London is up 0.2%. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up slightly. BitTorrent is a brand with a bad boy, bad girl image. It's the platform many college students have used over the years to steal pirated software and movies. Peer-to-peer sharing is how BitTorrent would describe it. Now, BitTorrent is getting into the Netflix and Amazon Video streaming game, teaming up with a company called Rapid Eye Studios to produce original content. The first will be a sci-fi video series aimed at the 14 to 25-year-old set, whom advertisers adore, Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, companies that used to just stream other people's content online are creating their own. Now here comes BitTorrent, best known perhaps as an enabler of illegal downloads.
There's really been an explosion of investments in originals, and a lot of this is borne out by what appears to be an insatiable appetite.
That's media analyst Tuna Amobi with S&P Capital IQ. But with so much programming available on different platforms and devices, will BitTorrent stand out? Analyst Dan Rayburn is with Frost & Sullivan.
Simply coming out and saying, hey, we're going to create original content too. Well, we already have more content than, you know, people can really get to or watch.
BitTorrent says its advantage is its 170 million active users. The company plans to make money by selling ads to companies eager to reach BitTorrent's young, tech-savvy demographic. In attracting those advertisers, RapidEye studio head Marco Weber said the young and rebellious image of the brand is a selling point. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
There are projections that show South Florida is vulnerable to massive damage as sea levels rise. Yet, this risk doesn't seem to be priced into real estate. Borrowing costs are normal, price of homes and apartments holding firm. The trillion-dollar question, when and how will the market start charging for those risks? Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports.
Financially, the most important piece of information about rising seas clobbering Miami and South Florida is the one nobody knows. When exactly? John Englander is the author of High Tide on Main Street, Rising Sea Level and the Coming Coastal Crisis.
Geologic time doesn't give us that answer. It doesn't get us down to human time scale of what decade will it happen or what year will it happen.
And As a Fort Lauderdale homeowner, he thinks that uncertainty works to his advantage for now. He might sell in 5 or 10 years. He thinks his case isn't unusual. Even though the typical mortgage is 30 years, many homeowners think about their investment in 5-year increments. That's the same horizon bond rating agencies use when they evaluate public works plans. Jeff Buswick runs the Public Finance Infrastructure Group at Standard & Poor's. He says 5 years is as far as they can look.
Once you get past that, the financial forecasts are softer. You know, 15 years from now, it can be a completely different management team in a completely different environment.
Charlene Lurig looks at water infrastructure for the nonprofit Ceres. She says there's a reason big investors are okay with a 5-year evaluation of what may be on paper a bond with a 20 or 30 or 100-year payoff.
They're not planning on holding that, for the most part, for 30 or 100 years. They're planning on flipping it maybe in 8.
So from all sides, the risks don't get priced into the market.
Everyone thinks they're going to be the first to realize where the risk is, the first to liquidate.
Keith London seems like someone who should be especially concerned about those risks. He's a homeowner and a city commissioner in the Miami suburb of Hallandale Beach. Rising seas have already required some big spending there just to protect the city's drinking water supply. But he doesn't think his town has it worse. Just first.
We are like the canary in the coal mine. We have all the issues and all the problems, but this is a bigger problem than just South Florida. There's going to be global disruptions everywhere.
Meanwhile, he thinks South Florida is a fine place to live. In Hallandale Beach, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
There is a Marketplace app if you want to press an icon to hear us. It's in the Apple and Google stores. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.